And thank you again for being here tonight. I know that it's a little cool outside, and I mentioned this morning that I was going to be talking about the subject of Lot in the book of Genesis chapter 19, that Lot lingered. It looks as though some of our brethren are lingering at the television watching the Cowboy game tonight. But anyway, I hope that's not the case, but we're glad you're here. And, as I mentioned this morning, there are some things for which we are permitted to linger. The Bible says we're to tarry one for another. We can linger over the good things of life, but sometimes we linger in the bad areas of life when we ought to be doing something about making changes that are so necessary. I can't help but think about, here we are at the brink of the new year, 2019. Boy, it just seems like yesterday almost it was Y2K. And, people were talking about all the problems that they anticipated in the coming, new reign, 1,000 years. And so, people were real troubled about all of that. But we know that God continued to normalize things as he does tonight. But lingering is a serious, serious issue. And if you read the book of Genesis chapter 19, that becomes quite obvious to us. It is a story not only about a man named Lot, who was the nephew of God's servant Abraham, the father of the Hebrew nation, as we read about in the Old Testament. God called Abraham, you remember, to move away from the Ur of the Chaldees and go to a land where God would show him. Well, in the process of so doing, eventually we remember that the herdsmen of Lot and the herdsmen of Abraham were having great difficulty getting along. And so they were going to have to do something about the problems that were at hand. And Abraham gave Lot the opportunity to choose where he would want to move and take his herdmen. And we know that he chose the land of Sodom. Well, when I think about Lot, we know all the problems about Sodom and Gomorrah, and people talk about them today. But the story of Lot begins to unfold in the book of Genesis chapter 19. It really is an interesting story, and the Bible says that Abraham, or Abram, dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. If I were to ask you a question tonight, where are you pitching your tent? That is, where is your life really going? What are you doing with your life? And are you living within the will of God? I don't know that we ever read anywhere in all the Bible where anyone pitched his tent. We know that they did, but the Bible says that Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. Now, do you know what? It was a grave mistake in a lot of ways. You know, some of the mistakes that we make in life are alterable. We can change those. But some of them are unalterable, if you will. There are so many sins that we see around us every day: greed, sloth, lust, envy, wrath, gluttony, pride, and the list could go on. But Sodom and Gomorrah, you will remember, were wicked, wicked cities, and for the sinfulness that begins to emerge in this story, we didn't know a whole lot about them until Lot goes there. But they were enormous, and people were defiling themselves one with another. And in the book of Genesis, chapter 13 through 19, their story of sinfulness and debauchery becomes quite obvious under those who would read about them. And so the countdown, as I mentioned here, to destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah begins to build through these chapters. God is eventually going to bring fire from heaven, and he is going to destroy these two wicked cities. Be that a lesson in and of itself, that God will execute his wrath upon those who hold the truth in ungodliness, according to the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 29 and following. Abraham, the uncle of Lot, plead with God not to destroy these cities. Now, you remember his nephew, Lot, is down there. And because of the great love that he had for his nephew and perhaps even others, he is pleading with God not to destroy these cities. And he even starts trying to make a deal with God. He starts trying to bargain with God. And he starts off and he says, you know, God, if you could find 50 righteous people, would you spare the city? Let me read the account for you in that particular text. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou consume the righteous right along with the wicked? That's always been the question. And we know that during the days of Noah, such occurred, did it not? Peradventure, there are 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou consume and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? Now, kind of tune in here to what he's saying. He is saying, if we can find at least 50 righteous people down here in Sodom and Gomorrah, would you spare those cities? Well, that it be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked. And so the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee, thou shalt not the judge, or shall not the judge of the earth do right. And Jehovah responds to his request, and he says, if I can find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sake. And Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken to me to speak unto the Lord. Who am I but dust and ashes? Peradventure, there shall lack 5 of those 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, I will not destroy it, if you find 45. And he spake unto him yet again and said, peradventure, what if there are only 40 there? What will you do? And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure, there shall be 30 that are found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord again. What if I can find just 25 people that are righteous? And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but once more. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And Jehovah went his way as soon as he had left, off communing with Abraham. The Bible says Abraham returned into his place. But I want you to notice what happens in this story in Genesis 19. Lot lingered. It's one of the most horrible statements that you'll ever find in the Bible. But you know what? It is so characteristically true of us today. When we know what we ought to do, we linger. And the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his 2 daughters. And Jehovah being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. Now, get the picture. The cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were so enormously gross and evil and corrupt and immoral. And homosexuality, as we call it today, to kind of color it a little bit, they call it the gay lifestyle, but it's far from being gay. And it was a horrible, horrible thing. And because of all of this, and this, believe it or not, was a straw that broke the camel's back with God. God said, enough is enough. I will destroy the cities. I cannot find 10 righteous people. And so God sent forth those angelic forces to bring Lot and his wife and his daughters out. And when they come out from the city, it came to pass that when he brought them forth, he said, escape now for your life, and do not look behind thee, neither stay thou in the plain, but escape to the mountain, unless thou be consumed, in verse 16. But Lot lingered. You know, you read that story, and you just have to, you have to look at our world today. There's so many people that are just like Lot. Maybe they're good people. Now, I don't know what he's doing down in Sodom. He pitched his tent in the wrong place. But there had to be some virtue about Lot that God is wanting to salvage his life and bring him out. But God starts the countdown, and he eventually destroys Sodom. There is a warning unto us today to give heed unto the teaching of God. But I tell you that it will be more bearable or tolerable, Jesus said in the book of Matthew 11:24. In that day for Sodom, in that day of judgment, than for you. Let me share with you five things very quickly tonight that you need to know about this story. Number one, first of all, is that Lot lingered. He did. When it was time for decisive action, he lingered. When his godly uncle was praying for him, Lot lingered. When the heavenly messengers were urging him to get out of Sodom, they literally had to drag him out. But he lingered. He waited. And when judgment was imminent, he knew that God had told him he's going to destroy the cities. Get out. Genesis 19:13. But Lot lingered. When he knew better than to linger, he lingered. And do you know there are people just like that today? Know they ought to become Christians and they haven't. They know that they ought to acknowledge their belief in Christ and to be baptized for the remission of sins, but they linger. They wait. And unfortunately, sometimes people wait until it's too late. Lingering was his biggest mistake. Isn't it interesting that what we generally remember about Lot are not all the good things about his life? But if you were to talk to someone on the street, if they knew anything at all about Lot, they would remember that Lot lingered. That Lot lingered. It was his big mistake. And it was a tragedy that could have been avoided. But Lot was slow when he should have been quick. He was backward when he should have been going forward to do the will of God. He was loitering, just hanging around, just lingering, when he should have been in a hurry to get out of Sodom. He was cold when he should have been hot for God. But there's a second thing here. Not only did he linger, but why did Lot linger? He made a wrong choice in his early life. You remember that in the book of Genesis chapter 13. I wish I had time tonight to go through all of this, but he was in love with the world. I mean, obviously, that's the way you have to accept it and look at it. And there are some tonight that are not Christians because they are in love with the world. And John says in 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the thing that is in the world. For all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And these are of the world, they're not of the Father. But he found fellowship with the wrong people. He did exactly what your mother told you not to do. Don't you run with the wrong crowd. But for some reason or another, the excitement and the pleasure and the provocative nature of sin caused him to find fellowship with the wrong folk. Now, I'm going to tell you something, Christians. Let me tell you also. That would be very easy for you to go back into the world when the heart of your friendship and your fellowship is with the world, you will find yourself drifting away from your loving God. It was hard for Lot to leave his people. And so therefore, he lingered. And his treasures were all down in Sodom. And Jesus says, don't lay up treasures upon this earth where moth and rust will corrupt but rather lay up treasures in heaven. You see, Lot had no treasures in heaven. His treasures were not spiritual, but in reality, his treasures were physical and material, and they lay in Sodom. And he felt too old to start over again. You know, through the years, I've had the opportunity to study with young folk, older people, in between. I'll never forget baptizing Tony Stedman, who used to live next door to us over here where the cleaners is now, a number of years ago, and we invited him to come to church, and he started coming, and he was 94 years of age when I immersed him into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, and he was always so joyful and thankful unto God that he had made that eternal decision. But Sodom was home. It was home to Lot. The story of Lot and his family is the story of what might have been. You ever really wondered about that? Some of the stories that we read about in the Bible. You know, what if that hadn't happened? I wonder what it would have really been like. It could have been monumental in one way. Lot's wife looked back upon the ruins of those two ancient cities, and she became a pillar of salt. You remember from the text that I read a moment ago in Luke 19, God said, when I bring you out of the city, don't you look back. But what she did was the very thing that God commanded her not to do. But she looked back, maybe in a moment of regret. Maybe her heart was down in Sodom. Who knows? But for whatever reason, she became a pillar of salt. But when I read that story, this becomes very obvious to me also. It is dangerous for us to linger. But why? I hear people say sometimes, well, you know, one of these days I'm going to become a Christian. One of these days I'm going to give my heart to God. And maybe Lot was thinking the same thing. One of these days I'm going to get out of this place. It is so sinful. It is so immoral. It is so ungodly. It's not where I need to be. And so he's thinking that one of these days, as someone said, is not on the calendar. One of the reasons it's dangerous for us to linger is that our future is uncertain. Can any of you tell me what you're going to be doing tomorrow? You may think you know what you're going to be doing tomorrow. James says in James chapter 4, verse 13, you know not what shall be on the morrow. For your life is like a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanisheth away. We ought to say, if the Lord will, this is what we will do. You know what lingering does? It hardens the heart. It becomes harder the next time we hear an invitation appeal to come to Christ. It does. And that's why the book of Hebrews chapter 4 says, harden not your hearts. Because what happens also when you linger, lingering will sear your conscience. And the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4 that there were some who had allowed their conscience to be seared over because of their refusal to do the will of God and their lingering. And the gospel doesn't touch them anymore. If there's a message from the story of Lot, it is this one. Don't wait to know what you ought to do. But why are so many people lingering today? We talk about the dangers of it. Well, why are people lingering today? Well, they know more truth than they live. You know, most people that linger know the truth. It's not an issue of not knowing the truth. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, John 8 and 32, and the truth shall make you free. He said in the 12th chapter of the book of John, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him, and the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. They believe in heaven. But they don't long for it. You know, as God's people, we ought to long for heaven, to know that that's where our home is. Our home is not here. It's great to be an American, but I'm going to tell you something. It's greater to be a child of God and greater to be a Christian and knowing that the home where we're going someday according to Christ in the book of Matthew chapter 7, is a home that is eternal, that fadeth not away, eternal in the heavens. Sometimes people linger. They know time is short, but they live as if it's long. They do. That's astounding to me, how people who know the truth live so apart from it. They build their lives around the things below, Romans chapter 12. Paul says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But many of us find ourselves in conformity to the world instead of to the things of God. They understand the battle, all right, the spiritual battle, but we consort with the enemy. 1 John 2, verse 15. They say they love Christ, but they don't live for Him. You know how I know they don't live for Him? Because in the book of John, the 14th chapter and 15, we find Jesus saying, if you love Me, keep My commandments. And when a person refuses to keep the commandments of God, and he chooses to love the world like Lot did, and that's exactly what he did, then you know where a person's affinity actually is. But last of all, the causes of delay and the results of one's lingering. And when you read this story of Lot, you're reminded of a number of things in the Bible, of people just like him. I'm reminded of the rich man that we read about in the book of Luke 16, who fared sumptuously every day. He had everything going for him. He could have been Jerusalem's man of the year. He pulled out in his chariot every day, and he saw a beggar who was laid on the side of the road by the name of Lazarus. And the Bible says that even the dogs had greater compassion upon this man than did this rich man. Why, they would come over and lick his wounds and soothe his wounds. But he was a fool, because the Bible says in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. In the finality of his life, he lingered. The foolish virgins that were half prepared, who brought no oil for their lanterns, in the book of Luke chapter 13. And when the bridegroom came, they had no oil. They were not ready. They were not prepared. I think of Agrippa, when Paul addressed to him about God and about Christ. The Bible says Agrippa makes his statement, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost. You know what? There are going to be a lot of almost Christians who will be found in a devil's hell, simply because they were all most converted to Christ. Almost. Did you hear that again? Almost. I think of Felix when he said in the book of Acts chapter 24, and the Apostle Paul is talking to him again. The Bible says he reasoned with him about righteousness and temperance and the judgment to come. Those three points. That was the summation of his lesson. And the Bible says that Felix trembled, and he said, when there's a more convenient season, I will call for thee. I mean, how convenient does it have to be for someone to become a Christian? Is that what people are waiting on today? Convenience? Is that why we linger? God does His part to keep us from destruction. He has given us His Word. He has given us His providence. The word provide comes from that word providence. God does provide. He does. And we see it. His servants plead with people to obey and be faithful. It's one thing about this congregation. You know, when we know people that are outside of Christ, people make efforts in this church to bring other people to Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, that's what we ought to be doing. Sometimes we linger when we should be aggressively trying to reach lost souls with the gospel of Jesus Christ our Lord. Let me ask you a question tonight. Where are you pitching your tent? Where are you really pitching your tent? Are you lingering? Well, let me remind you that neither time nor death nor judgment linger. And someday we shall cross over God's deadline. We will. Again, let me remind you of the words of Jesus in the book of Matthew chapter 11 and verse 24. But I tell you that it will be more bearable for Sodom on the day of judgment than for you. Will you wait for a convenient time? Will you wait until you're old? Will you wait until you're sick and perhaps nigh unto death and hope that God would forgive you at that moment? Will you wait until your conscience is pricked just a little bit more? If there's a message in all the Bible that speaks to you and to me tonight about lingering, don't wait for the perfect moment. But take the moment and make it perfect. You see, you might just wait and linger too long. Too long. Waiting to become a Christian is dangerous to your soul. When you realize that you have not confessed Christ and have not been immersed or baptized for the remission of sins, you are lingering just like Lot did. You are. And when you realize that you need to rededicate your life to Christ and become His child and serve Him faithfully, why would you linger? Why do you wait? You know, there's so many songs in our hymnal that deal with that particular issue. The one we're going to sing tonight deals with that particular issue. Don't wait till tomorrow. One verse of this song says, tomorrow may never come. Now is the time. Oh, then be wise. Be saved, oh, tonight. Lot did wait too long. Don't make the same mistake. Your eternal home hangs in the balance. Let us stand and let us sing.